Good afternoon.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Well, as I was saying, good afternoon, and welcome to the Mystique's West Hour. I'm your host, Ray Frazier, and if this is the first time you're tuning into our show, I'd like to tell you that we are a metaphysical news magazine. Now, that means we're going to talk about everything that has to do with the paranormal, including ghosts, hauntings, spirits, UFOs, just about anything that you can imagine that would come up on your metaphysical menu, so to speak, and we'll answer any questions that you have. We also offer free mini psychic readings. Now, today, I think we're going to be very fortunate to have Mr. Bill Konkoleski call us in. He is the president of Michigan MUFON. That's the UFO Society here in Michigan. Bill is an alien experiencer. Back in the day when people were starting to recognize this controversial subject, they were talking about things like, for example, that people were alien abductees and that some of the testings and things like that that they were doing on the people, you know, were cruel and things like that. Now, Bill has been an alien experiencer for a majority of his life. He has given many presentations on extraterrestrials and UFOs. He gave a beautiful one here at Mystique's West, and he's our guest today. If you're calling in for a reading, then I'm just going to ask that you be patient with us as we get through this interview, because I think you're going to find that what Bill has to offer is extremely, and I say extremely with capital letters around it, interesting and you know, beneficial to those of us who believe in extraterrestrials, but who unfortunately do not have the influence to make the government reveal what they truly know. Now, the Mystique's West Hour is sponsored by the Mystique's West Metaphysical Center, located at 36356 Ford Road in Westland. That's halfway between Wayne and Newburgh Roads at Central City Parkway. And you can call us up and make an appointment for a reading at Mystique's West at 734-729-8019. Or if you're calling from another part of the country, you can reach us toll-free at 888-367-8653. Now, that 367-8653 spells out foretold. So if you can just remember when 888 foretold, you'll remember our number. Now, Mystique's West is a full-service metaphysical center. We have classes. We have public seance every Wednesday. Monday night is a metaphysical discussion forum. And then on Friday, we have meditation. Starting on May 17th at 4 o'clock, I will be conducting a class in mediumship and psychic development. It's a four-week class. Total cost of the class is only $60. Sometimes we go to 5 weeks because we got more information. And you don't need to do anything like make a reservation. You just show up on the 17th at Mystique's West at 36356 Ford Road in Westland. And we'll get you started. All the materials are provided in the class, so all you got to do is show up, bring a pencil and some paper, take some notes if you'd like. If you don't have that, we'll even supply that for you. But we'd love to have you come and join us. May 17th at 4 o'clock, the Mediumship and Psychic Development class at Mystique's West. I see Bill is on our line there. Bill, how you doing?
Great, Ray. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I was kind of waiting for the audience to pick up a little bit so we can make your visit worthwhile. And, you know, you've been involved with extraterrestrials most of your life. Isn't that correct?
My whole life, yes. In fact, my very first memory in life is being in my crib as a two-year-old and a little gray guy coming up to the crib and looking down at me.
That must have been a little disconcerting at the time.
Right, yeah, nobody told me anything about these little guys, obviously. You know, you don't go around telling your one-year-old, two-year-old about the possibilities of aliens out there. In fact, you know, at that time, which was the early 70s, the topic really wasn't in circulation. So it took me, you know, till I was probably nearly 20 years old before I started seeing around me in books and on television, things like that, evidence of what was actually really happening to me.
And this has been going on, for your whole, just about your whole life. Now, how did the term alien abductees get changed into being alien experiencers?
Well, abductees is still widely used, I would argue. But there came a point where people were saying that, and in my case too, some of my events were in fact abductions where I was taken and brought somewhere else and examinations were done on me. Other events were really more like visitations and I wasn't taken. Sometimes I had scary experiences. Sometimes I have, positive experiences. And when you take the sum of everything and look at yourself and everything you've been through with the positive, the negative, the whole package, to say abductee puts a negative spin on it, regardless of whether it was a positive or a negative experience. So experiencer is a neutral term, and I think one that's preferred by most people who have, both the positive and the negative or the neutral experiences.
Now, as I remember from your discussion, there are a number of different alien species. Is that correct?
Yes. To my knowledge, we probably have absolutely no idea the wide scope of different races, species, beings, entities from other worlds, other dimensions, what have you, other times that are coming to us. I think that we're a pretty popular vacation spot for all sorts of species out there.
Now that's a new spin on the good old Earth, eh? Well, now let me ask this: who primarily, if you had to say from your experience, is it the Greys or the Nordiques or the Reptilians, or who is the species, if you want to call it that, that seems to be more active on the Earth in your experience?
I would say the Greys by a wide margin on that one. The wide variety of species are certainly out there, but yeah, the Nordics that you mentioned, the tall, nice, blonde-looking people that visit the Earth are still being seen by people. I received very recent reports of reptilian-looking beings visiting people, but far and away, the Greys are the most prevalent. And even amongst the Greys, people report slightly different types of Greys. There's the little Greys that are about 3 feet tall, taller Greys that are about 5 feet tall, a mantis-like being, which is commonly seen with the Greys, though not exactly the same as the Greys themselves. But, generally some form of gray, they seem to be the one that really are the most dominant in terms of visiting people here.
Hmm. And from your perspective, would you consider that most of your encounters have been, benevolent or friendly or otherwise?
It actually changed with me over the years and through the different periods of my life, and I would say that this is true also for many people who have been lifelong experiencers. So in my particular case, when they first came to me when I was young, first of all, after that one visitation when I was two, when the thing just looked at me in the crib and left the room, experiences that I had when I was very young, beyond that, like, say, age four, and other visitations I had when I was in my single digits, they were playful. They wanted to be my friend. They were nice to me, gentle with me. And then as I got into my teen years, puberty, I think, was really the onset of the change here. They became much more interested in me physically and not as necessarily friendly, but more efficient. They would take me, and I could tell they had a job to do. They were on some sort of schedule. It was, let's process this guy, do our examination, put him back, because we got other things to do. And at that time, especially in my late teens, it was very scary, very frightening. There was all of that pleasant connection that I had with them when I was a little kid. It wasn't there any longer. And then things changed again. As I got into my 20s, there was a new respect that they had for me. And they were not as harsh with me. They seemed to hold back a little bit. They seemed to understand that there was a line, that if they went over it, it would traumatize me too much. And as I got into my 30s and now I'm 43, the experiences that I have, and there's a whole wide variety of experiences I have besides just straightforward visitation, but I don't know if I would absolutely positively just say they're all positive, but they're respectful. They're still all very mysterious, but I wouldn't say that I have any sort of sense of victimization anymore. It was a rough time that I had early on, but that seems to have passed. That seems to have mellowed. And the whole thing really leaves you with a spiritual boost, because when you're raised in two worlds, which is the name of my book, so therefore it's a plug for my book, I guess.
There you go. Okay.
Raised in two worlds. you grow up, being that little kid that everybody expects you to, and they tell you what the world is like, and you go through all that and say, yeah, okay, I get it. But there's also this other side that's going on that's completely unlike what anybody has ever told you life is supposed to be like. Generally, life out there in the universe isn't part of what you tell kids about, because, not only is it scary, people don't really have the answers on that, the evidence isn't fully in what's going on, some people are able to deny in their own minds because they've never had these types of experiences, they're able to deny that it's not real. But when it happens to you, well, of course it's real. And then suddenly there's this rift between you and a great number of people out there. And, and as you can't get the answers from your surroundings, from your regular life and the regular world that people know, you start to seek spiritual answers. And you find that there is a lot of comfort in the sense of a greater sort of consciousness, a greater sense of purpose to the universe. And I think it brings solace to anybody who has this kind of thing happen to them. And I think it is overall, if I look at it as a positive or negative thing, for me, I'm at a place where I would say it's more positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the Mission MUFON comes in, because you have like-thinking people there that you can communicate with, right?
Yeah, MUFON, and if anybody out there is not familiar with it, is the Mutual UFO Network. It's the world's largest civilian UFO investigation operation. The website for the international is MUFON.com, and you can find our Michigan chapter. I've been state director for Michigan now for just over 10 years, and you find within MUFON a wide variety of people. Some people are very into the nuts and bolts. Let's compare different type of craft. Let's see if there's any patterns and locations where they visit. They're very hardwired into the physicality of it. And then you have people that are into the more esoteric side of the experiences. And, we get together five times a year in Flint, and the discussions we have are pretty far out, as you can understand. And there's a lot of respect and common understanding for each other and our perspectives. And it's the best way to really get a better, bigger picture out of the phenomena when you have several people coming together, all agreement on one thing, that we are being visited, but have a wide variety of different perspectives of what exactly is happening.
Right. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mystique Swept Hour here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Our guest today is Mr. Bill Konkoleski. He's the mission director of the Mission MUFON, and he is a lifetime alien experiencer, and he's talking about some of the experiences. If you have questions for Bill, feel free to give us a call here on the show at 646-378-0378. That's 646-378-0378. Also, in the second half hour of the show, I will be doing mini readings. If you'd like to get in line for a mini reading, that's the same number to call, 646-378-0378. Now, Bill, you know, the History Channel has a show on there called Ancient Aliens, I think it is, and they talk about many of the things that are remnants on the earth of what they believe or perceive are actually visitation mile markers, so to speak, from extraterrestrials from times gone by. What's your take on that? You got a positive feel about the show, or have you ever seen it? You know,
I admit, while I haven't seen the majority of the episodes, I do know Giorgio personally, the gentleman with the hair. For mm-hmm. those of you who,
oh yeah, yeah.
But overall, I would say that there would probably have to be a great likelihood that we've been visited through the ages. If you look at the, you know, the great age of the universe and think that if another civilization out there was just even slightly ahead of us on the grand celestial time scale, it's possible that they could have gotten to be at a spacefaring age thousands of years into our past, and for them to start coming to our world at that time, it's not surprising at all. And I think a lot of the evidence out there is pretty compelling. Everything from the primitive cave drawings that you see of what appear to be grays and UFOs to a lot of the quirky things that you find, like the batteries or the apparent aircraft that they were modeling back then. Thousands of years ago, to, you know, even the questions about the pyramids, you know, the whole nine yards. If you look at the variety of mysterious things out there and don't have, like, a central answer for them, you just see, wow, you know, there's a lot of really unusual things that have happened inexplicably through the years. However, if you add the element of, well, what if we were visited by an outside species? Then everything clicks. And if you have an answer, and if you have an element like that, an answer like that, well, what if we were visited, and everything clicks, you have to take it seriously. And, you know, that becomes, you know, the answer that can encompass and give evidence and give truth to all of these mysteries over the years. I mean, you have to say, okay, now that is the theory to beat. Let's try to disprove that, because nothing else provides an answer. And I'm not, you know, I'm not so clueless as to think that there has to be a single answer, for example, for the batteries and the pyramids, that sort of a thing. But when you do add the element of extraterrestrial visitation, things start to make sense, including a lot of the things that are reported in religious texts from a wide variety of religions from way back then. If you say, well, you know, that sounds pretty incredible, stuff like that doesn't happen today. Well, if you say, well, what if we were being visited? Then you'd have to say, well, yeah, then maybe. Yeah, so I do think that there is an extremely strong case for us being visited through the millennia.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you, and I use the advancement of technology in my classes here. You know, if you think about the history of man's time on the earth as we are recording it, you know, the cycle of technology advanced once from man's placement on the earth to the point where he discovered fire, advanced once from the discovery of fire to the wheel, discovered once from the wheel to the steam engine. And today, that technology is advancing several hundred times a day as scientists come up with new and new technology. And like you say, what if people were a thousand years ahead of us? How fast would their technology be evolving, and what could they come up with? And what if it was 10,000 or a light year? You know, the fact that we live in our little nurtured society here, thinking that we know everything, is kind of a a laughable situation when you consider that there are literally billions of, you know, space stones out there that, you know, could in some way support some kind of life and certainly some kind of intelligence. And it blows my mind that people are so narrow-minded that they can't even accept the possibility that there are forces that are more intelligent, more powerful, more advanced in the universe than we are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the current figure is an estimate of 8 trillion potential habitable worlds out there. if you combine the number of planets that they estimate within the Milky Way galaxy are potentially habitable and multiply that by the number of visible galaxies, I think the current number is the possibility of 8 trillion habitable worlds. And even if that's way off and it's only half of that, you know.
And of course, that's only the visible galaxies. You know, I've often said that I think there are multiple what we would call universes out there. And, you know, of course, you know, if you're talking, even if there were 1,000, that would be an astronomical number. And the potential of an advanced life form is certainly, you know, is not unrealistic at all. Question, if you had to describe one of your most memorable experiences, other than the one when you were 2 years old, what might it be?
I'm trying to think. I'm going to pick on one where I was an adult, just to sort of give a span of a time across my life, because there are definitely several I could bring up. But I was dating a girl. Back in 1995, we had just started dating. We'd only been going out for a couple months. And I had not yet told her about my visitors that would come and call on me every once in a while. And I knew at some point I would have to tell her about this. But I thought, well, you know, the first couple months of dating, maybe not so much, you know, the time to say, oh, and hey, guess what, honey, you know, I have little gray guys come and, you know, check me out every once in a while. So we were in a park here in Michigan, and it was rather late at night. We were out, quote-unquote, stargazing. And while we were there out in the park, just the two of us alone, clearly nobody else was around us, we found ourselves suddenly paralyzed, and as we were actually facing each other, standing there facing each other. And when we found ourselves paralyzed, three little gray guys came up to us and were inspecting her primarily, and not so much, you know, me, but I could tell, like, oh my gosh, here they are, you know, and they're looking at her, and I could read their communications with each other telepathically, which is generally how they communicate, and they were looking at her, and they're like, no, not her, she's not the right one for him, no, I don't think this one's going to work. and after they had this little banter, they all walked away slowly, and then suddenly we were, free to move, and we grabbed our stuff, we looked for the car, which was quite far away, it was probably the longest I'd run in quite some time. We hopped in the car and drove out of there, and as we were leaving, we didn't discuss what had happened to us. In fact, we'd never discussed what had happened again, but very shortly after that, she broke up with me, and I would say that 99.9% of it was because of that evening. And although I didn't tell her that I had anything to do with what happened, I think she understood that it had everything to do with me. So,
well, you got to figure that most guys have trouble meeting a girl's parents. I mean, you know, here you are, you know, out there in a park somewhere in the wilderness, being visited by extraterrestrials. That might be a little disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Bill, you mentioned that you have a book out. You have one book out or more than one?
The way I have it set up, my book is called Experiencer, Raised in Two Worlds. It's available on Amazon. I also have a website in support of it, which is experiencer.me, which is .me, experiencer.me. And if you go to experiencer.us, so experiencer.us, I have a new personal newsletter I've been starting to put out, and in that I'm putting the material for what was going to go into my second book and material that was going to go into a third book, an idea I had for a third book. I'm putting out the second book and third book, so to speak, at the same time in this newsletter, as well as in, and I'm also including reports that other people have told me that I think are worth sharing, the type of thing that I don't think anybody would have heard otherwise had I not put something like this together. And so if anybody picks up my first book and wants to see where the next parts of the story go, I would say go to experiencer.us and check out my newsletter I call the Experiencer Chronicle.
Okay, now this contains, you know, some of your life experiences and things like that?
Yep, absolutely. It picks up immediately at the end of my first book and takes the story on from there. There were several barriers to me getting out the second book in the time frame that I'd hoped and in the way that I hoped, so the newsletter I found is the best way to do that. I find that the types of things that have happened to me in my early 20s are probably the things that I most want to share with people, and that's the type of thing that I'm putting in the newsletter.
Well, now, one of the things that I found, you know, absolutely astounding when you gave your presentation here at Mystiques West was your the pictures, the diagrams that you'd drawn up, not only of the different aliens, but of some of the internals of the crafts. Is that anything that's going to be part of one of your books?
Possibly. You know, I do a lot of presentations these days, and I started to work the floor plan into some of my presentations, and it has a very curious effect on people, where they'll be following, they'll be nodding their head, I get it, and then I'll show them the diagram, and it seems to confuse them.
So
I ask people, so what did you think of the diagram? They're very interesting. See, the thing is, I don't think anybody else, I've been around the block a few times in the UFO field, and I don't know anybody else who's been showing floor plans of, you know, where they've been taken aboard. And I think it's so different than what people are used to seeing. They don't know what to make of it. So, I certainly have a very nice version of the floor plan, and to me, I believe that it's pretty accurate of where I've been taken on board. But, I find that the public presentations I do aren't really the right format for it, apparently. But I might put it on my website and see what kind of reaction it gets when people have a chance to inspect it at their own leisure.
Well, we certainly enjoyed it when we saw it here, and, of course, it raised a lot of questions and such as that. Because here, of course, we got a lot of people that are true believers, and, you know, bless her heart, Kathy was a staunch UFO supporter, and I'm sure she's doing something from the higher side. Now, last question I got for you today, Bill, is, you know, we live in a society here in the United States where, you know, everybody's in denial from the government on down. Some of the other countries of the world are much more open-minded and, I guess, realistic about UFO encounters and extraterrestrials. Why do you think the United States is in a situation where, for some reason, they've got to deny that we are being visited by people from other planets or other galaxies or whatever?
And while that might be a complicated answer, let me try to put a couple spotlights on it that I think are important. One is that for our government to come out and say that there's a higher power out there, it erodes our faith in our government as being, you know, the only remaining superpower on Earth or what have you. You know, it sort of diminishes what we as a country and as our government likes to boast, that we're the top dogs out there. And I think it would put some serious questions on things like you know, authority, on religion, on economy, a lot of things would suddenly change and change in such a way where the government wouldn't be able to necessarily control it. An admission that there's life out there is just really an admission on the part of our government that they don't have the hold of control that we always assumed they did. And another quick thing I want to say, which is also I think part of the package, is I think that our technology in terms of space travel is much, much, much further than anybody assumes. And I think that we actually are probably out there doing things in space that would just absolutely astound people, but the government is keeping that under wraps too. And so an admission that there's life out there would also be, you know, open to, well, what are we doing about it? What are we doing out there? And all that the government would have to do is either lie about it or admit what our space program is. And I don't think they're ready for that sort of world-changing admission that we're actually quite capable of traveling out in space ourselves, which I do think is actually the case.
Well, let me ask you another question then. Many people are familiar with the crash of the spacecraft in Roswell in 1947. Is that something that you believe actually happened? And also people have believed that some of the space technology that we have has been developed by reverse engineering some of the things we found on the craft. What do you think about that?
I think that's all very true. And, in fact, I think that Roswell is one of many events where the U.S. or around the world, possibly other governments, have gotten their hands on advanced technology and been able to reverse engineer it to some extent. I think that the number of people that have come forth on the Roswell incident is evidence enough, and especially some of the key players who've come forward and said that that the event really happened. I do think that it did happen. And, of course, if the government is going to get its hands on it, it's not just going to stick it in a closet somewhere, throw a tarp over it. You know, they're going to go at that thing day in and day out to try to figure out how it works. And at this point, you know, what is Roswell over, 65-plus years ago?
Yep.
They had a lot of time to tinker with this thing and probably other craft that have come down over the years. So I do think that, yeah, we are I think that behind closed doors, somewhere in some secret bases out here, they really have come a long way with the understanding of some of the craft that have crashed here. And, in fact, it probably wouldn't surprise me this many decades on that we may have even surpassed the technology that we found in the Roswell crash.
Wow. Well, okay. I really appreciate you being with us today. You are listening to Bill Konkoleski, the director of Michigan MUFON. Bill, how can people get in touch with you? I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people that will have questions about not only what we talked about, perhaps some own personal incidents of either alien participation or something like that. How can they get hold of you to ask you questions?
Okay, the best way to get a hold of me personally is through my personal website, experiencer.me. Again, that's experiencer.me. And if you're interested in the Mutual UFO Network, interested in looking into UFOs and having discussions about UFOs with other folks, you can go to MUFON.com, or our state chapter's website is MI as in Michigan, MIMUFON.org.
Okay. Well, I'm going to reannounce that information again here as the show goes on, and I truly appreciate you being with us and participating in our show today. And of course, tell your lovely wife I said hey, and say hey to those kids for me, okay?
And right back to your family too, Ray. Thanks so much for everything
thanks,
you've done.
Been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Well, it's currently about 25 minutes before the hour, 2 o'clock. You've just been listening to Mr. Bill Konkoleski, the director of Michigan MUFON. He's an alien experiencer. You might want to tell your friends to tap into the archives presentation of that if they didn't happen to hear it live. Right now, I'm going to be taking some mini psychic reading questions for anybody that would want to have a psychic reading question. You can get in line for your free call or your free reading at 646-378-0378. That's 646-378-0378, and I'll be here to answer your question. I'm going to go to Sharon in Ohio, first of all. Sharon, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for being patient with us and listening to Mr. Konkoleski. How can I help you today?
Well, thank you. I did listen. It was nice. Good. I am looking for employment, and I wondered if you see me landing a job. I am interviewing, and I'm waiting on a couple of jobs.
Okay. The feeling I have, I definitely feel that you're going to get a job. The job seems to be to the east of where you live.
Yep.
But it and that seems to be a positive thing. It seems to be something that I think not only will the job be something that you'll like very much, but also the proximity of the job seems to be relevant, as well as it'll be close to, you know, where you want to be or whatever.
Within driving.
Yes. And I'm just feeling that it's probably going to be closer to the end of the month before you get a final hey heads up on it. And so
I
you want to be patient with it.
Oh, I was the first interview, that's why. They're supposed to call me back next week because one of the ladies, the main person, was on vacation last week.
Okay. Well, now that wouldn't surprise me at all. But I still feel like there may be either a second interview or something that you'll have to do before you get the final go-ahead. But I feel really comfortable with the whole thing. You know, sometimes, you know, you look around and you think you got a pretty good job and all that kind of stuff, and then you find out that, hey, wait a minute, you know, there's something better out there for me. And when you land that something better, man, it just ends up being something that's going to make you really happy. And that's really what I think is going on here, is that this is a time that, you know, certainly is going to be, you know, ultimately a stepping off point for you as you go forward. And I just feel like, you know, the pieces are finally
starting to fall into place. 4 months. It's been 4 months I've been looking.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I think it's about time to bring that to a close, eh, and get yourself back working again.
So what you said, be patient and I'll hear back.
Yeah, I believe that before the end of the month you'll have something absolutely lined up where you'll be able to, you know, be employed and make good money in a place that you're really going to be happy to work. It's one of those things where sometimes you start someplace and you think, hey, this is okay, and then the longer you're there, the better it gets. So I'm wishing you the best, okay?
Thank you so much, okay? Have a nice day.
All right, you too. Thanks for calling me up.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, you're listening to the Mystiques West Hour here on Body, Mind, and Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Ray Frazier, and I'm doing free mini psychic readings. If you'd like to call in and get a free mini psychic reading, you can reach us at 646-378-0378. Now, the Mystiques West Hour is sponsored by the Mystiques West Metaphysical Center, located at 36356 Ford Road in Westland, Michigan. We're halfway between Wayne and Newburgh on Ford Road, and we're open from 11 to 7 Monday through Friday and 11 to 6 on Saturdays. Sometimes on Sunday we're open, and so if you'd like to get a Sunday reading, you just have to give us a call and let us know that you're interested in getting an appointment. And if I'm going to be in on Sunday, I'll be happy to read for you. This coming weekend, we are going to be going to a metaphysical fair at the Gibraltar Trade Center North. That's on North River Road and I-94 in Mount Clemens. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, selling some merchandise and doing readings. It costs you $2 to get into Gibraltar, and I think other than that, it's free to get into the psychic fair there. But they've done a great deal as far as advancing the readers that they have there, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'd encourage you all to come on out. You'll see us. We're going to have a reader vendor table, so we'll be selling some things. And my wife and I will be doing readings, and our son Jacob will be here as well. And so that's kind of a good thing. We'll be able to help you out. And, you know, we'll also have some information on upcoming classes. I did mention that on May 17th, a Saturday at 4 o'clock, I will be beginning my mediumship and psychic development class, which is a four-week class. It's $60 for all 4 weeks, and all the materials are provided. All you have to do is show up and just come to Mystiques West at 36356 Ford Road in Westland, Michigan. Now, if you have any questions, you can call me up locally at 734-729-8019 or nationwide at 888-367-8653. And while I'm giving that nationwide toll-free number, I want to tell everybody, we take calls from all over the world. We have clients in all over the world. We've been in business more than 20 years. Most everybody that's been reading here has been reading a lifetime. I've got more than 40 years experience myself, and we have clients from all different countries in the world and certainly all across the United States. So if you have somebody you think might be able to use our help, have them give us a call. Wednesday night we do have our public seance, which is a very wonderful time because it gives everybody that shows up a chance to make contact with someone who's passed away, be it friend, family, or spirit guides. And, of course, there's usually two or three mediums working each seance. And so you get more than one perspective as far as the communication goes. And we'd love to have you. You just need to be here a little bit before 7 on Wednesday evenings. The cost of the seance is $10. And everybody that shows up actually gets a reading. So we'd love to have you come and join us. Bring your friends with you if you want. And if you like cats, we have a very friendly cat that runs around the store all the time. He lives here. And he would certainly like to see you as well. Okay, next I'm going to go to Jill in Illinois, who's calling up. Jill, how are you today?
Hello.
Hi, Jill. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have a question I can help you with today?
Yeah, there's this woman, Hawaiian, and we had discussed kind of working together. Do you see it actually happening? She seems to be busy or something.
Yeah, the feeling I get, and you know, a lot of times, interestingly enough, things happen which are not of our own. We don't create the problem. We just have to deal with it, so to speak. And I really feel like when I talk about this person that there's a lot of things going on in their world that is just, I'll say, off balance, that they just are not able to clear out. I would say I do believe without any question that what you talk about working together, et cetera, I feel that there's a viable basis for that. However, I think that if you were to say, should I wait or should I get started on my own, I'm going to tell you you need to get started on your own because I don't think that this person is going to be able to pull the pieces together to be, you know, at least in the near future. I just get this feeling when I talk about you is that you're kind of, I'm going to say anxious, you know, I mean that in a positive way, to get rolling. And certainly if you have to wait for someone for a long time, that takes a little of the fire out of what it is you're trying to do. And so I would just say I would try and get it going on your own. If you still feel inclined to have her join you once the, you know, you've got things started in the right direction or whatever, then you can add her along. But I wouldn't wait to get started until she's available to, you know, jump in with you. That just seems to be kind of a thing which, you know, you'd be wasting some time. What kind of business are you thinking about?
She's just like an energy healer.
Okay. All right. Well, the feeling I would have as you said that, I really feel a lot of what's going on is that she's very comfortable in doing what she's doing. And I think that adding anything additional to that might upset her homeostasis. It might not be, you know, a good balance, you know, and that maybe that she's just not ready to make that crossover yet. But, you know, the thing is, you know, like I say, if you were to start, whether you, do you do like Reiki or something?
No, but she does this Hawaiian thing that I really is grabbing me, and she said
okay.
that she would work with me, but then she hasn't really gotten back with to me.
Okay. Well, you know, I might, I would believe that, you know, I don't think it's personal. I think
okay.
there are just other things that are interfering, and I think
okay.
that the
okay.
best thing that you can do for that is to just kind of take a breath and be patient with it. And but in the meantime, I might look around to see if there's someone else that would be able to provide the same service to you.
Can I ask
really...
you another question? Do you have time?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you see me moving? Am I going to not move, choose to move, or have to move?
Okay, I would believe that this year is going to be status quo. And I say that right up until before Christmas. Now, when I talk about Christmas, I'm not talking about anything bad that's going to happen. It just seems like there's going to be a position of choice where you'll want to move. Not because you need to, but because it's going to be convenient for you to do it. You'll either want to get a different place, different size place, cheaper place, whatever. But next year, particularly in the spring, which for me is usually after the end of March, the energy around you changing residence is very strong and very, very positive. I mean, this is not going to come in where anybody's going to shove something down your throat. It'll be something where you'll say, you know, I think the time is right. There also seems to be other situations going on in your life and your family, which will also be cleared up or resolved that'll make it easier for you to do at that time. So I just feel like if you, you know, just go on with your life, you know, ask Spirit to guide you as to what you would want to do as far as moving, and they will. A word I don't often use as a metaphysician is the word promise, but I promise you that they will hear your request and they will answer you. And if you want to know whether you're going to move or when you're going to move, they will make that happen for you. Okay?
But if I don't want to move, they'll
make it possible so you don't have to move. Now,
okay.
the thing I would say is if you elect not to move, it'll be your choice, but I want to say that you may go through a period of, let's just call it being a little bit uncomfortable. Don't allow
okay.
that to throw you off track, okay? It may mean that
okay.
you just got to rework some things. But don't allow anything that appears to be not 100% positive to be a sign that you shouldn't be doing it, okay? If you're wanting to stay where you're at, then just stay where you're at. But ask Spirit to make it as simple as possible for you, okay?
Okay, thank you
All right.
so much.
All right. Thanks for giving us a call here on the Mystique's West Hour.
Thank you.
You know, some of you may have heard me talk about the fact that I'm in theater, and I love theater. I wish I had discovered it 30 years ago. I'm currently in a play called Murders in the Air, H-E-I-R, which is going to start the first week of June, the 6th, 7th, and through the 10th, I think it is, at the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan. That's located at Cherry Hill and Ridge Roads. It's a senior group called the Still Got It Players. Now, don't let that scare you off because everybody in the group's over 50, but everybody in the group has years, decades of acting experience, and so the plays are just phenomenal. How phenomenal are they? Well, you may have heard me talk about the fact that not so long ago I did a play called The Geezer Game, and The Geezer Game is a comedy about a group of retired Scottish people who want to play a football game against a group of retired Irish people for charity. Well, the play went over so well that we got selected to go to Broadway and do it in New York at an off-Broadway theater, which we're going to do the third week of July. What a thrill, what an honor it is to be selected to have that happen. But we're all very excited. Unfortunately, you know, we're all retirees. And so it's a rather expensive trip to go there. They're not paying our way. They just invited us to come and do it. And so I'm kind of looking for sponsors. If there's anybody out there that would like us help to get to New York, if you would like to make a donation, I'd be happy to accept it. Just make any payments out to either Ray Frazier or Mystiques West. If you give more than $100, I'll give you a 30-minute reading. If you give $200, two 30-minute readings. Up to $500, where I give you five 30-minute readings for your donation. So it isn't like you're not getting something out of it, because those readings are $60 a piece. And we certainly, you know, want to help you out as much as we can. And you can use them at any time. I'll give you gift certificates, which actually you could dispense to your friends if you wanted to do that. But, you know, just if you have questions about it, you can give me a call here at Mystiques West at 729-8019. That's 734-729-8019, or toll-free 888-367-8653, and I'll be happy to explain what's going on. We've got to get train fare and hotel fare and all that, food and all that kind of stuff for the group to go. And so anything that y'all can do to help us out would be greatly appreciated. I mean that sincerely. And we'd love to see you at our play, which is going to take place in the month of June this year, called Murders in the Air at the Village Theater in Canton. And, of course, you can call either the Village Theater in Canton or call me, and I'll give you more information about it. One of the things that we would like you to do for us, if you could, is we would like Mystiques West, the Mystiques West Hour, to be a weekly show. And the best way we can do that is by having as many listeners as possible. And so if you enjoy our show, we'd ask that you tell people and ask them to tune us in. Now, you can listen either live, as some of you may be doing right now, or you can tune in on the archives at either BodyMindSpiritRadio.com or through BlogTalkRadio.com. And you can listen to the show, and you'll hear the show in its entirety. My son, who is kind of a technological wizard, has also thought about, you know, putting our shows up on YouTube. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not, but we'd like to get the word out that there is a group of people who are not afraid to talk about anything that is going on in the metaphysical world, and that is the Mystiques West Hour and the Mystiques West Psychic Reading Center here in Westland, Michigan. A couple of the things which are very beneficial that we would like you to be part of is Monday night, Roger Little, who's one of our longtime readers. Roger's been with me longer than I can remember. He conducts a metaphysical discussion forum. And the metaphysical discussion forum is a chance for you to come in and talk about anything that you'd like to know about. You can bring any questions, any topic, whatever. And Roger and the group will, you know, discuss different opinions, different experiences, different facts related to it, so that you can have a better understanding. If you don't have anything particular and you'd just like to come and share with like-thinking people, that's a good place to do that as well, because everybody will have a topic, and if not, Roger has many topics that he can talk about, and so we'd love to have you join him. That's Monday night at 7 o'clock. Tonight, on Wednesdays, we always have our public seances at 7 o'clock. Admission to the seance is $10, and everybody that shows up will have a chance to call in somebody that they'd like to get in touch with from the spirit world. Then on Friday at 7:30, Tonio Kurlick leads a guided meditation class. Now, this class has been growing and growing. Tony was off sick for a while, but even though she's off sick, she comes back, the group is growing still. So it's a wonderful thing, and certainly if you want to learn how to get in touch with your inner self, your spiritual self, meditation is the first step in being able to shut down the conscious thoughts you have of the day, which may be distracting you from listening to the voices that you hear from spirit. Now, personally, I am an author. I write metaphysical suspense novels. They're available at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, iUniverse.com. Any bookseller can get my books for you. Just put in my name, Ray Frazier. I have 7 books published right now and an 8th book, which is coming out. Many people find my memoir, which is called I Am the Father's Son, to be a very informative book because in it I talk about how I was born and raised into a very rigid Christian society and how I always felt that there was something different, something unique that was going on that I just couldn't put my finger on. And it wasn't until I was 30 years old until the veil was lifted for me and I was able to see the many different things that were going on in our world and our universe. And so I've kind of reported these in I Am the Father's Son. Also, there's a large how-to package at the back of the book, which will explain to you how to understand some of your mediumship and some of the psychic events that are going on in your world. And again, all my books are available through any major retailer. You just have to go in. Sometimes they'll have them in stock. Sometimes you'll have to order them. But certainly the suspense novels are fun. My protagonist is a fellow named Sean Thomas, who finds himself involved in many different metaphysical things. And, of course, interestingly enough, some of the events that occur in his world, in his life, are things which I've really experienced. Of course, being an author, writer, you get to take some poetic justice with it and make a poetic license and make it be something which you feel might be more intriguing to people. But the books are very good. They're very highly rated by Writer's Digest magazine. And I think that you could do yourself a favor by purchasing the book. They're in a series. The first is titled A Change Called Death. Then we have Kindred Flock, Family of Angels, and lastly in the series, Featherless Wings. And then I have 2 short stories out right now, collections of short stories, which are Labyrinth and Flight of the Monarch, and then, of course, my memoir. I have another collection of short stories called Horizontal Rain, which is in the process of being published right now. And so, you know, we'd like to have you tune in and you know, get these books and read them and tell your friends about them because it seems like everybody that reads them likes them, and we would certainly like to have you, you know, enjoy them just as well. Again, I want to remind you that we do have a psychic show at the Gibraltar Trade Center North. That's on North River Road and I-94 in Mount Clemens. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so you can come in and get a reading from either my wife or myself. We'll be happy to help you out. Mystique's West will be open. Raj will be working Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, we are closed as normal. But we'd love to see you at the Gibraltar Trade Center if you're interested in coming up for that. Now, one of the things that people always ask me when you go to a psychic fair, how do you know who's good? Well, a lot of that comes from trial and error. It's like finding a new doctor, finding a new barber, or something like that. Sometimes you got to try them out to find out. But the one thing is, if anybody's asking you to give them money to clear a curse or anything like that, you want to run from those people because certainly they're not people that are out there to help you. And at Mystique's West, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you. We do fundraisers, home cleansing, psychic parties, just about anything and everything you could ask for. You can get at Mystique's West. Just give us a call at 734-729-8019, and we'll be happy to help you out. Now, we're about ready to sign off, so we want to tell your friends about Mystique's West, the Mystique's West Hour, or the first Wednesday of every month at 1 o'clock p.m. Thank you for listening, and we enjoy having you with us.